You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org. Here's Pastor Greg Mott.
It's great. John chapter 12 is where we're going to be. John chapter 12, and if you've been paying attention, we've been in John chapter 9, so we're skipping. We're skipping a couple chapters. Don't worry, we're going to come back to them. But I just couldn't see us coming to the triumphal entry 3 weeks after it happened. Since it's happening here, we might as well go ahead and get to it and just skip a little bit, and we'll jump back in after Easter, back into where we are in John. But the triumphal entry is where we're going to be in John chapter 12, verse 12 is where we're going to start. Now, every one of us have seen the video. Doesn't matter what age you are, I bet every one of us has seen the video. It's a beautiful day. They're driving down the street. It's a beautiful limousine with a beautiful man, a beautiful woman. There's ticker tape stuff coming out of windows. People are hanging out of the windows to look and see them. People are lining the streets, waving just to get a glance. We're watching it come through on this beautiful day, but we know in 1963 in Dallas, Texas, that this beautiful day and this beautiful parade, if you will, is going to drastically change. We're going to see this film go along, and when we watch the film now, we're seeing the waves and we're seeing the adulation and the smiles and everybody hanging out of the windows and all the things happening and the celebration in Dallas. We see the video of them getting off the plane. We see them driving in the limousine, and we know when they make that right turn by Dealey Plaza. And then they make that left turn by the school depository building. When we see that turn, when we know those last turns are happening, we know what's about to happen. We understand the end from the beginning. So it changes how we look at it. We don't look at it quite in the same way because we know the beginning of the parade is actually a funeral processional, if you will. We understand what's about to happen with the right turn by Dealey Plaza and the left turn by the school book building. We understand what's about to happen. And when we look at the triumphal entry, we've got to understand the same thing. In John chapter 12, we're beginning from John 12 to John 21, is the second section of John, if you will. It's the last week of Jesus' life. All of next year, we're going to study the last week of Jesus' life. We're going to get into every aspect of it and look at every aspect of it. But right now, we're standing at the very beginning of it, knowing that this triumphal procession is a journey into the cross. It's a journey into his death. It's not going to be an assassin's bullet, but it is going to be nails in his hands and nails in his feet. It's not going to be the death of the president. It's going to be the death of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to rise again from the grave. So we look at this with a little bit different eyes. We look at this with a little bit different understanding. Look, if you will, in verse 12 of chapter 12. The next day, the great crowd, I want you to remember that. I'm going to explain that to you in a second. The next day, the great crowd had come for the feast, that's Passover, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna," which means save us. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had to be done to, and that they had done these things to him. So here we have Jesus coming into Jerusalem. He's coming in at the Passover. Now, the Passover is a huge deal. You'll remember back from the book of Exodus that they would take a lamb and they would slay the lamb, and the death angel passed over their house because they had blood on the doorpost of the house. So the blood signified that they would pass over. So people would come into Jerusalem. Jerusalem at this time is a town of about 100,000 people. So picture a town of 100,000 people, and it says a great crowd came. A great crowd is 1 million people come to Jerusalem. A town of 100,000, 1 million people show up. 10 times the growth. That would be like in Houston, 40 million people showing up to Houston. Now think of the difference we felt in Katrina with people coming from Louisiana. Think of the difference we feel when it's a game going on and you get on the 610 loop and you forgot that it's the rodeo or it's a Texans game or it's a Final Four. Think of the difference when you're driving downtown and it's an Astro game or there's some type of convention going on. We understand when all the suburbs come into the city. This is 10 times the growth. There's a great crowd in Jerusalem, a huge crowd for Passover, because they were coming because they wanted to sacrifice lambs to pay for their sin. So this huge Passover crowd comes, and Jesus comes in to this time. He's going to be on the back of a donkey. He's told his disciples, I want you to get me something. We're riding into Jerusalem. They're like, oh, yeah, great. We're riding into Jerusalem. That means we're taking over. I want you to get me something to ride on. Well, what do you want? I'm sure it's going to be a huge horse. No, I want a donkey. I want a donkey that no one's ever ridden on. I want a donkey that somebody could look at and say, that's not even a big donkey. That's a small donkey. So I want a little bitty donkey so that I can ride in on this donkey into this Passover time. They're fired up until they start hearing this donkey business. They're like, wait a minute. All the Roman people, they'd come in on these huge white stallions. They'd come for a triumphal entry. And you want to come in on a donkey with all of these people around. They think it's going to be this huge celebration. And they're waving palm branches when he comes in. Well, let me tell you what the palm branches are about. In Psalms 113 through 118, we read together just a moment ago, 118. Psalm 113 through 118, they would sing this in the temple, all of these psalms. They would sing these psalms out, and when they would get to Psalm 118, it was the crescendo. It was the big moment. It was the part of the song everybody's looking for. You know what I'm talking about? It's the part when we get in church, and we get to the hymn, and then we go, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, right? Everybody's just, I mean, belting it out. People behind you that hadn't been singing the whole hymn, watermelon, 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 then sings my soul. Right? We're waiting for that moment in the song. If you were to go to Fenway Park later on today or whenever they have another home game, the Red Sox at the end of the seventh inning, they play Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. So everybody gets ready and they start playing it. The music's pumping. Everybody's singing. All you kids of the 70s remember it. And they get to this part. The whole crowd sings out, Sweet Caroline. The music's playing. And then they pull down all the volume in the stadium. And the entire crowd goes, bump, bump, bump. Some of you are like, I love that song. Why can't we sing that in church? That's as close as you're going to get to it, okay? That's as close as you're going to get to it in church. It's the moment. This huge moment, everybody's waiting because Boston baseball most of the time has been terrible. It's been a lot better in recent years. Everybody's waiting for bump, bump, bump. That's the best part of the game. They're singing Psalm 113 and they're cruising through and they're waiting for Psalm 118. And when they get to Psalm 118, this is what they begin to sing out. The stone which the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Here it is. Ba, ba, ba. Save now, which means Hosanna. Hosanna, I pray. Oh, Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're ramping up from 113 to 114 to 115 to 116, 117, 118. Wham! Hosanna. And at that moment, they would take out this willow that they had that they would put together and this myrtle that they would tie together and they would wrap it in a palm leaf. And they would begin to wave these palm leaves at that moment. This is Old Testament. They would wave these palm leaves, and it was so connected with this psalm that the palm leaves began to be called Hosannas. And when they would have a Roman conqueror come into town, they would wave Hosannas. It was so a part of Jewish culture, it would be on the backs of their coins, like our eagle would be for us. And they'd wave these Hosannas. One verse is kind of interesting in that section that they would be getting up to. In verse 23, it says, this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes, just so you would know. At the end of the Civil War, they put that verse into the rotunda of the Capitol. It was the Lord's doing, the ending of the Civil War. It is marvelous in our eyes. And nobody picketed. Everybody celebrated. And so they went in this crescendo to come up to this apex moment to sing this. That's what they would do at the temple. And that's what they cry out. When Jesus comes through, they grab those palm branches. They grab the waving of them. They begin to sing this out. This is the moment, the big moment, because they thought he was going to be a political leader taking over. That's what they thought. They didn't understand in Mark chapter 16 or Mark chapter 10, this is what Jesus said to the disciples. He said he took the disciples aside and he said, we're going up to Jerusalem. Yes, political leader to take over. And he said, the Son of Man, though, will be betrayed by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. But 3 days later, he will rise. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen on the journey. He knew the left turn and the right turn. He understood it, but the people did not. And they began to wave these branches and sing out. But do you know what? These same people that are singing out Hosanna, they're going to be the same people that cry out crucify in just a week. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Give us Barabbas! That's what's going to come out of these people's face, out of their mouths, with angry faces declaring that. So here's the point. Man is fickle, God is faithful. Man is fickle, God is faithful. Jesus Christ journeys in celebration going to the cross, knowing that the fickleness of man, that these same men and women will turn on him and cry out for Barabbas and call for him to be crucified. They'll leave him at the cross. They'll persecute his believers later on. Man is fickle, but God is faithful. Please hear this, because you and I, we're fickle people. We're fickle people. And we get wounded when we get around other people and they're fickle. People hurt us. You have friendships that go awry. You have maybe even a marriage in which somebody, your spouse, turns their back on you. And you go, wait a minute. If everybody's fickle, and I know that, but those that are supposed to be faithful, they turn on me as well. Oh, the wound, how deep. And Christ comes through this parade. He comes through this procession. He comes through this funeral march, if you will, with fickle people screaming things out to him. But he knows the faithfulness of God. And what enables us to walk and journey through life is not the applause of men. It's the applause and the faithfulness of God. That's what allows us to do it. So how did Jesus, what can we take from this? Jesus walks through or rides through. How would you ride through a parade of people you know are going to kill you later? What would be your sense on that? You'd be journeying through going, don't be cheering for me, buddy. I know what you're going to do later. You're going to be in front of my throne one day. I'm going to let you have it. That's what's going to happen, right? Be calling down angels and, I mean, all sorts of stuff. I mean, it would just be, but the grace of Christ journeys with a million people in the city calling out praise to him, but he knows they're going to turn on him because he trusts in the purpose of God in his life and he trusts in the faithfulness of God in his life. And when you trust in the purpose of God in your life and you trust in the faithfulness of God in your life, then the fickleness of man is just a part of the fallen world. But you're able to walk through that. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But you're able to walk through it knowing that God will do something in your life. See, what they wanted this. They wanted Jesus to do now what he's going to do in the future. Doesn't that sound just like us? We want Jesus to do today what he might have planned for tomorrow. We want him to do today what might take a year of our spiritual growth. We want him to do today what might be later on down the road. We can't handle what he's going to do tomorrow today, so he's waiting on it. They're wanting him to be the leader in the takeover moment today, but that's coming later. That's coming in the second coming, isn't it? He's taken over hearts in the first coming. He's taken over the world in the second coming. And so here he comes through these fickle, fickle folks. And they cry out, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at verse 14. Jesus found a young donkey. Other verses of scripture tell us it's a donkey that's never been ridden on. And sat upon it as it is written. This is now Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See that your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. So here he comes. How does he come in? He comes in on a donkey that's never been ridden. They're ready for him to say, go and get my horse, go and get my steed, go and get my stallion. And we're going to go in because the Roman conquerors would come in on a horse and they would come into this celebration with all their trophies of conquering. And he says, no, I don't want a horse. I want a donkey. You want a what? Horses symbolize victory. Donkeys symbolize humility and peace. I want to come in on a donkey. Wait a minute. And they didn't realize it was fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I want to come in on a donkey. He comes in peace. He comes in humility. How do human beings like to enter? Watch the Academy Awards. We like to enter in a big, grand way. Get out of a long car for a long red carpet and stand before a bunch of people. You've seen this deal? They stand in front of all the photographers for 5 minutes going. That's what they do. I know that because that's what I do. I have the staff when I walk in on Sunday mornings. Pastor, a large church. I just walk in my flowing robes coming in. Greg Anna, blessed is who comes in the name of the Lord, right? We as humans love a huge entrance. MTV Video Awards went in Miami a while back. It wasn't that they could just come in a car. These rappers were coming in yachts into the port to get into the car. They'd stand on the front of the yacht with all their gold and a big cigar out of their mouth, to which I'd say, bankrupt 5 years, you. On the rented yacht, right? Not a lot of old rich rappers. True? So here they come in on their yachts because we love a grand entrance. We love a red carpet. We love everybody looking at us, even if we got to rent the stuff to get fickle people to sing our praises. And God comes in through Jesus Christ on a donkey. He comes into town, in Jerusalem, in the Passover, in the greatest moment, the feast, the greatest moment. This is when the lambs would come in. He comes in when the lambs are coming in. And he comes in at this moment, the Prince of Peace, showing his humility. Think of the grace of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He journeys through a parade of fickle people, knowing he's going to die on the cross for their fickleness. He is a grace-filled, peace-filled man that's going to die on behalf of their curses. Max Lucado said this. He said, as the echo of the crunching fruit was still sounding in the Garden of Eden, Jesus was leaving for Calvary. He journeys in grace. He gets on a donkey that's never been ridden. How does a donkey that's never been ridden usually respond? How does a donkey that's never been ridden usually respond going through a crowd of a million people screaming at it? Would you like to be on that ride? No. Why is it okay for Jesus? Because the donkey has the Creator on top of him. So it calms everything. George Whitfield said this, the reason that animals growl at humans is because they know we're at odds with their creator. The reason animals growl at humans is because they realize we're at odds with their creator. This colt that's never been ridden, going down a parade route of screaming crazed people, is as calm as it gets because the creator, the Prince of Peace, is on his back. And he journeys as you and I would wave our palm branches. We're still fickle, aren't we? We still walk with God sometimes and not with God other times. We wave and praise and then curse our neighbor. And Jesus rides through in humility and in peace. And he says, I'm different than the Roman conquerors. I'm different than what you've seen before. I'm walking in humility. And so we should walk in humility and we should walk in the faithfulness of God, not in the entrance of man. So how do we respond in that? Corrie Ten Boom said this. She was asked once if it was difficult for her to remain humble, and here's what she said. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey and everyone was waving palm branches and throwing garments on the road and singing praises, do you think for one moment it ever entered the head of the donkey that was for him? If I can just be the donkey on which Jesus Christ rides in his glory, I'll give him the praise and all the honor. What are you as a believer in Christ? You and I are just a donkey taking Jesus a little bit further down the road. That's all we are. So we don't walk around and go, I bet this parade's for me. I bet this is all about me. No, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God using us to take Jesus just a little bit further down the road. So whatever your business card is, it's a donkey to take it further down the road. Whatever your accolades are, it's a donkey. Whatever your education is, whatever your experience is, your personality is, whatever is, it's a donkey for you to take Jesus a little bit further down the road. And he comes as a Prince of Peace. And he comes as a humble man. And he comes as the Savior. And I love what it says in verse 16. If you look at verse 16, it says this: at first, his disciples did not understand all of this. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Here's the deal. We understand the beginning at the end. God understands the end at the beginning. We understand the beginning at the end. When we look back on it, we go, that's why I went to that place. That's why I got fired. That's why we moved to that town. That's why that happened. Look at all that God brought out of that we learned. We understand the beginning when we're at the end looking back at it. The disciples at first didn't understand all of these things. But here's the difference. God understands the end at the beginning. He's the Alpha. He understands the Omega. He's at the beginning. He understands at the end. So when he calls us to deeper obedience, we can step out knowing that God has got a plan. And some of us are so paralyzed with the present tense. We can see how God's moved in the past. Oh, yeah, I trust him. Boy, don't worry about that. I've seen God do all these things. We can trust him in somebody else's life. God will take care of you. But in our own life, we're paralyzed about what God's will is going to be for the future because we can't see the end. We're just in the beginning. So we're nervous and scared about God's will. I know a great book on God's will you should read. But we paralyze ourselves when we can trust that he sees the end at the very beginning. So we say, Lord, in the fickleness, you're faithful and I trust you. Lord, in the parade that I think's going to not really turn out well at the office, I trust you because you see the beginning and you also see the end. We're in a great celebration time for us as a church right now, just even this day, lots of celebrations, but even this day. Today is when we've opened up the new children's building and preschool building over there, to my right, your left, and that's an amazing thing. And what happened on that, some of you know the story, some of you don't. We had our capital campaign. God did some amazing things through it, and our children's and preschool ministry just began to grow and grow and grow, and we realized paint and carpet wasn't going to cut it. We needed to build. We needed to expand and let this be bigger. And so I can remember standing out on the front walk and everybody, all the architects and staff and people looking at me and kind of like, Pastor, what are we going to do? What do you think we should do? We'd researched it, looked at it, and we were standing there and I just thought, how can we not? I mean, God's bringing us kids. How can we not? I said, let's go for it. Let's do it. And we stepped out in faith, and I'm talking you millions of dollars in faith on top of millions of dollars already. And we stepped out in that faith and said, okay, Lord, you see the beginning and you see the end. We trust you, God, that you will do this. And as we stepped out in faith, God just began to do amazing things. And so today, and I want you to do this, go and tour through there and look at it today. We're going to open it up to the kids next week, and you won't be able to just wander through. Go and look at it. And we stand there, after making that decision, we stand there now, and it's completely debt-free because of the miracles of the Lord. I mean, is that amazing? Because God saw the end at the beginning. And so we just stepped out and said, Lord, lead. And the disciples didn't understand. He's going to die, but he's going to rise. And that resurrection will take the fickle man of humanity and allow them to place their fickleness at the faithfulness of the foot of the cross of Jesus and to receive that forgiveness so that then they could be resurrected as well. What an amazing thing. I close with this. Jesus is coming through. It's the exact day that the lambs were being brought into Jerusalem. They think that there was over 250,000 lambs that came to Jerusalem. 250,000 plus lambs. Picture the scene. There's 1 million people in there. There's 250,000 lambs in there. This place is packed. And if you've ever been to a third world country where animals kind of run free, we don't do that in America, thankfully, that's good. I love animals, but, you know, you don't want them to be like, I-10, whoa, I mean, it's just, ba-boom, that's what would happen on I-10, okay? Sorry. They come through and all these lambs are there. Jesus is on a little colt. He's coming in on the exact day all the lambs come in. He's journeying this parade. And I picture it that the parade route, in a sense, has got the lambs just going along with them. Where else would they go? How would they do? They're just kind of out there. And he's just a little bit higher than all the lambs. Why? Because John said in John chapter 1, verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin. It's not just cover your sin on the doorpost. It's take away the sin of your heart. So he's journeying a little bit higher on his donkey, and he's cruising along so that he gets, and he's going to die on the exact day that the lambs are to die for their sin. To declare on Passover, at the Passover feast, when the lambs come into town, the lamb's coming into town. When it's time for the lambs to be slain, the lamb is going to be slain. Why? Because all lambs die, but not this one. He's coming back out. And when we see him come back out, the fickleness of man doesn't matter because the faithfulness of God is there. The trust in the end, we don't need to know that. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we begin to walk and step out and to live this out. What's the next step for you in the journey of faith? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted him to be the lamb that was slain for your sin? Place your faith in him. If you have, are you walking in fickleness? Or are you walking in faithfulness? Because here's when a donkey shines. Is when the donkey begins to look like the faithfulness of God. See, men, the way you stay married, women, the way you stay married is you get about the faithfulness of God, and then it'll make you faithful as a spouse. The way you end up being a good friend is you get about the faithfulness of God, and then it makes you a faithful friend. You can keep a secret because you know there's one who's keeping a whole lot of secrets on your behalf. When you get into the faithfulness of God, it makes you a faithful employee, employer, because the faithfulness begins to shine. And when the faithfulness of God shines through a donkey, everybody goes, who's riding that donkey? Because that doesn't come from a donkey. It comes from Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.